it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The radio home of the Buffalo Sabres. This is the Buffalo Sabres postgame show, live from KeyBank Center. Here's your host, Brian Cozio.
Welcome back to KeyBank Center. 3-1 the final. Colorado defeats Buffalo. The Sabres offense continuing to struggle. 2 total goals now in 3 games, and the Sabres 0-3 to start the season. We appreciate you being with us here. We'll have live locker room reaction coming up. Paul Hamilton's on his way to the Sabres dressing room as we speak. And in the end here, Colorado's offense didn't even really, you know, quote, go off here. Only 3 goals. A 3-1 final, but the Sabres offense continuing to struggle right now. And 0-3 start. Ottawa next year on Wednesday, the first of 6 in a row against the Atlantic Division. So maybe there is some positive in the sense that, hey, if you go on a run here over these next 6 games, you can be right back in the race in terms of whatever that's worth at this moment. Pat Malacaro joining me here. Brian Colesio. We'll go to Paul Hamilton in the room in a moment. Pat, another night with just 1 goal.
Yeah. What was the common theme of all 3 Colorado goals? It was their biggest players coming through, whether it was Nathan MacKinnon with 2 of them. Martin Natchez had a goal that was taken off the board in the third period, but he ends up with 2 points and a couple of primary assists on both of MacKinnon's goals today. Cale Makar scores on a pass from Valeri Nichushkin. So the key players for Colorado came through today. Where Tage Thompson scored the lone Sabres goal. He gets his first of the year, so that's important. But for Colorado, their big players came through when they needed them.
Absolutely. Yeah, MacKinnon was great. No doubt about it that he was the best player on the ice. 2 goals and first star honors. We'll get you the 3 stars coming up here in just a minute. But another night where the power play also struggles. Pat, they're now 0-11 on the season.
Yeah, and a couple of opportunities early in the game. The 3 power plays in the first period, 1 carryover for a couple of seconds into the second. That was an opportunity there. Even though Colorado scored first, you get the equalizer. Maybe a score in between there before Thompson gets his first of the year. And instead of a 1-1 game after 20, you're talking about a 2-1 lead. And so, you know, special teams, which has been a topic of conversation the last couple of years, you know, Lindy Ruff changing things up a little bit today, but it still just didn't work. Whatever this team is searching for, they're still looking for it. And that it will continue to plague them until they can finally get some consistent work going on special teams.
There was still 20 minutes to go, and you wondered, like, what was Buffalo going to do here in the third? But, Pat, they were outshot 15-4 in the third.
Yeah.
Took a couple penalties, you know, both of them unnecessary. An interference frustration penalty from Dahlin, a delay of game from Timmins. I mean, an opportunity to maybe try to get back. Well, 4 shots generated, 2 penalties taken. Like, that's not the recipe to do it.
And you said it as we were standing here with about half a period to go. You're just a bounce away from getting within 1. And if you just get that bounce, then you're talking about maybe Colorado's on their heels a little bit. You get that second one, all of a sudden you're tied and you can and win the game. We've seen a lead isn't safe in this building, whatever side. So, yeah, it was an opportunity there to at least get within 1, maybe make it a game. And unfortunately for the Sabres, you know, that Nate's goal wiped off the board. You were still within 2 and just never got any good sustained pressure.
3-1 the final. Colorado beats Buffalo. Again, Paul Hamilton's awaiting outside the Sabres room. As soon as he has players available, we will jump right down there and get some player reaction. Ottawa is next here on Wednesday, then Florida here on Saturday before Buffalo heads out to Montreal early next week. Pat, I'll spin this. If you take empty netters out of it, because they had an empty net goal against the Rangers, empty net goal against Boston, they've given up 3, 2, and 3. With questionable goaltending coming in, which we didn't know. Alex Lyon's been good. And Michael Kesselring out, even Owen Power out on opening night. And now Samuelson out tonight. So you've had injuries on D, a question in net.
Right, injury to a goaltender, right. Pekka Luukkonen.
You've given up 3, 2, and 3. That should probably land you points in all of those games. The problem is 0-1-1. That's what you've scored on the other end.
And 5-on-5, or at least even strength, goal scoring has not been an issue for this team. Historically, this last couple of years, it's been the special team. So, and early on now in this season, it doesn't matter, special teams, even strength, whatever. Look, it's a 4-on-4 goal, but McKinnon finds some open space. If you're the Sabres, just find an opening on 4-on-4 play, gain a little momentum, gain some speed, and get a goal, and maybe we're talking about a different story. But that 5-on-5 or even strength play just has not been the same as what we've seen.
To add on to your special teams point, the power play is 0-for-11. The penalty kill is 11-for-11. So that's been good. Again, going back to, hey, you know what? Your approach this offseason about being harder to play against, more defensively sound, making smarter decisions on the defensive end. I mean, you look at the second goal that they gave up, Dahlin and Byram, unfortunately, very weak on that play. You got to give McKinnon maybe some credit, just, you know, his two goals at some point, his talent's very good. But still in the end, with, again, you're not playing with a Vezina guy in net. You're not playing with your full strength of defense here. I mean, look, Ryan Johnson's been in a couple of times.
He's been okay. He's been good.
You have Jacob Bryson right in a couple of times. Like, this is not the 6D that ultimately is your full strength 6D here. They've given up 3, 2, and 3.
With a lot of empty net goals in there.
Yeah, you should be in games here. You should be getting points. You have 0 points now here so far. And the offense and the power play have to be better. They just have to be. And yes, Thompson did score today, but in general, the goal scorers, when Jack Quinn gets a scoring chance, like it'll be the first for me to see one. He has been almost, you know, I think almost nothing here. Kulik's been quiet. I mean, McLeod contributed last year nicely offensively. We've seen nothing from him so far.
Jason Zucker's a playmaker.
Alex Tuck has to produce. He's got his first point here today. They've got to get better. 0 goals, 1 goal, 1 goal over the course of 3 games. They have to get better. We'll head down to the locker room here in a moment. Again, we're waiting for Paul Hamilton to step in. We'll see if, I don't know, is there any sort of any extra conversation in the room. Zach Benson might be available for Wednesday. At least that's the plan that's tracking for him to come back to practice. We'll find out on that shortly. But down the stretch again, outshot. The Sabres were outshot 15-4 in the third period. All right, let's go down to the room. Tage Thompson, live with Paul.
Tage, 3 games, 3 losses, and hasn't been remotely good enough. What's going on?
A great question. I mean, obviously. Much all it comes down to.
How hard to believe is it? Not just 3 losses, but 2 goals.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we're struggling to score, which in turn means we're not winning. So that's what it is right now, and that's on me. I gotta find ways to score more and bear down, generate more chances. But yeah, that's the situation we're in right now, and we gotta find a way out of it.
First period, you guys went to the net and had some net front presence around it. It seemed like it went away as the game went on. What happened there where, as I said, in the first period, it looked like it was pretty good with you guys around the net?
Yeah, we had a good first period. We were getting pucks to the net, bodies to the net, had a lot of chances. And then, they made a push and felt like we didn't have as much extended ozone after that where we could really even get to the net because we didn't have the puck. So, it's... just got to find a way to be better.
Tage, your team was outshot 15-3, 15-4 in the third period. What needs to change or improve for this team going forward in the third period in particular?
To not get outshot by that much and have the puck on our stick. And you guys are seeing the same stuff we're seeing. So it's just things we need to do.
What do you need to do to create more chances in the third period?
Have the puck on your stick.
This was a pretty positive place, I thought, during camp. You guys had, you know, some realistic hopes here. I mean, how shocked are you 3 games into the season? You're in this situation, and how much did the Norris injury kind of throw everybody for a loop here, and you guys just haven't seemed to, you know, push forward here after?
Well, yeah, losing Norris definitely hurts, but, you're using past tense, like, we're 3 games into the season, so... it's not over by any means. We had a great preseason. That doesn't mean anything. Kind of like we've had a bad first 3 games. That doesn't mean anything. I mean, we have a long season to go. We just, You guys are acting like the world's ending right now. So we just got to find a way to claw ourselves out of this. We're obviously in a hole that we don't want to be in, and we just got to find a way out of it.
Kind of going off of that, just how would you describe then the morale in this locker room?
Yeah, I mean, it's not a good morale when you're losing. So that means we just got to find ways to enjoy coming here and make it a positive atmosphere. I'm a big believer that negativity breeds negativity, and that's kind of how we've snowballed things in the past. So we can't let three games be the end of the world. Like I said, like obviously that sucks. No one wants to lose their first three games, but we got an opportunity Wednesday to turn it around, and I think that's all we got to start doing is just look at the next game. Can't keep looking back. I mean, the last three games, the last four seasons, the last 14 seasons, whatever you want to do. We just got to keep our sights set on what's next. And for us, that's Ottawa. And we have a day tomorrow to come in and get better as a group and work on things and move forward. What's done is done. So I'm tired of talking about the past and tired of talking about, well, we're in three games. So we'll take some questions on Wednesday if you got them.
Thanks.
Tage Thompson, Brian, back to you.
Okay. Some good stuff there from Tage Thompson. We might not view it as good stuff, but some frustration, some real thoughts. He's frustrated, Pat, for sure. He knows he has to be part of the solution with the scoring that's troubling them right now.
I think he takes a lot of it on his shoulders, and especially with the position of leadership that he has on the team. And he scores a goal today, but you heard him being questioned about, you know, what does it take to get more shots on goal? It's quite simple answer in just having the puck on your stick, and you know, whether it starts with face-off wins, not turning the puck over, better passing, what have you. Those are all things that would result in the Sabres getting more quality chances, more opportunities, and in a day where you needed some more shots in the third period, that could have been a difference in getting within one, getting the game tied, and getting at least a point out of it, and not.
Back to the room. Rasmus Dahlin now live with Paul.
Thanks, Brian. Rasmus, three games, three losses. It hasn't been good enough. Why? What's going on?
It's not good enough. A lot of the areas. Better start today. Worse ending. Not good power play. Good PK. Good goaltending. We can't catch a break there. We got to get out of this bullshit.
In the first period, you had people to the net. You had players there. You had pucks there. And that seemed to go away after that in the second and third. Is the first period more of the way you guys have to play?
Yeah.
How would you assess your game?
My game?
Yeah.
Not good enough. We lost. Yeah.
What did you see on that turnover on the second goal?
I was going for a breakaway the other way. It was a bad play. Horrible play.
How shocked are you with the talent in this room that you guys only have two goals? Is that even something you could even conceive?
We have a lot of guys out. A lot of guys are not in the lineup right now. But yeah, we have to score more to be able to win hockey games.
Since you seem to be in a good place coming into the season, I mean, you know, just days in your 0-3, are you shocked that you're sitting here in this situation again?
Yeah, I am. It's a mix of everything. Not good enough on the ice. A lot of injuries. We have to step up. This is not acceptable. That's for sure.
How do you fix it?
Come up with a plan. Compete out there. We have to work harder. We have to keep it more simple. We got to score more. We got to find a way to score more. Our power play have to get better. It's not good.
How do you keep the head up with all these guys being injured, and you know, after having such a good camp?
We don't have a choice. We have 79 games left.
What are you seeing on the power play?
Not connecting. Sometimes forcing stuff, wanting too much, not slowing it down, take a breath, forcing.
Do you have to be better on the battles in the power play too, along the walls and stuff, to retrieve pucks?
I think it's more to have a plan, know where the out is. That solves a lot of problems. Yeah, but we have to battle and work harder everywhere on the ice.
Thanks, Rasmus. Rasmus Dahlin in the postgame. Brian, back to you.
All right, there is the captain, Rasmus Dahlin. Sabres fall 3-1. Buffalo getting some stronger words, Pat, from two of their two biggest leaders. Let's face it, Dahlin and Thompson are their guys. I mean, and they both know they're a big part of, if there's going to be a solution with them on this team, it probably starts right with them. I'm sure that's part of a big reason why they're so frustrated.
You're right. And, you know, Dahlin did not use the excuse of players being out of the lineup right now as a crutch to say that's a reason why they're losing. There's enough players that and enough talent on the ice for them to be competitive in games and being within a goal or getting that tying goal in a game like this to get yourself within one, tie it, and maybe steal a point or two. But you know, you're only three games in, but it feels like a lot of the same things we've talked about these last couple of years just continue to be part of the trend, and I think is why the questions are very similar to what we've heard in the past, because we've seen a lot of these same things with many of the same players the last couple of years.
Yeah. 3-1 the final. Lindy Ruff likely coming up next here. We'll get to him here in just a few moments. Let's get our final stats in. They're brought to you by Level Financial Advisors, helping you retire better. Visit levelfa.com. And we'll start with the shots here. 15-4 in the third. Colorado, we mentioned that already. They outshoot the Sabres 37-29. Power plays, both teams 0 for the day. Buffalo 0 of 3, Colorado 0 of 4. The power play's been 0 for the season. The penalty kill, though, has been 100%. They're both actually 11 tries. The power play's 0 for 11. The penalty kill is 11 for 11. So at least half the special teams is doing quite well right now. In the net, Scott Wedgwood gets the win. 29 shots, 28 saves. Alex Lyon, the loss. 37 saves. 37 shots, 34 saves. Now time for your Blue Star Home Services 3 stars. And they're all from the Avalanche. No surprise. Martin Natchez, 2 assists, star number 3. Kel McCarr, a goal and an assist, star number 2. And Nathan McKinnon, 2 goals. He is star number 1. Your Blue Star Home Services 3 stars. Your heating and cooling experts ready to improve your home's comfort game plan. Get started at BlueStarHS.com. The announced attendance here today at KeyBank Center on Columbus Day. A lot of kids in the stands. 16,462. And Buffalo will continue this home stand. They have 2 more home games this week. Wednesday night, Ottawa and Dylan Cousins, 7 o'clock. And then Saturday, a 1 o'clock game against the Florida Panthers. We'll have it for you right here on the Sabres Radio Network. All right, here's Lindy Ruff live.
Bucks, they were there. It seemed as the game went on, maybe a second, third period, you didn't have as much of it. Why do you think they kind of went away?
I thought we didn't break the puck out near as well. I thought first period really broke the puck out well. Got it below the goal line. Our won a lot of battles, got around the net. Second period, you know, same thing. We had, you know, Thompson miss an empty net. I thought Bryce missed an empty net off the side. We had 3 or 4 really good opportunities. I didn't like our third. I thought, you know, we were overplaying those top 4D. I don't think we got up ice enough to help our forwards out. Broke it out quicker, and some of our execution leaving the zone wasn't near as clean as it was in the first 2 periods.
You know, when you look at this team, I mean, teams can start a season 0-3, but just how shocked are you with the guys who were in that room to have 2 goals?
Yeah, you know what, you look at, we've got bodies that need to produce for us, for sure. A little bit of squeezing right now, but I think for me, there was some good signs in that, you know, in that game. And I know we're a little short, but there was opportunities to produce. The Boston game, not near as much.
What are the signs?
Yeah. We had good ozone time. We skated on people. We had opportunities in where we got to the inside. We missed the net on quite a few. I thought we mishandled. Just mishandled too many pucks that would have turned into better chances, but we did get inside.
Well, you changed things up a little, you generated a little bit. What do you think of the power?
That was, again, a night where the killers, really, the killers, really dominated. I didn't, didn't handle their pressure well again. I thought, you know, you got to get that bumper release, or you got to be able to get away from that pressure. And there's a few times we didn't get away from it quick enough.
How about Samuelson? What's the report on
that? Actually, a good report day to day. We actually feared a little worse, but there's a chance he could play on Wednesday, I think.
The way the injuries are stacked up, is this kind of affecting the morale of the room? Just because of so many guys.
You know what? You've got to try to stay positive. You know, you take out a Norris and a Benson and another top four defenseman, and you know, I looked at Samuelson, the way he'd been killing penalties. I'd done a real good job. I thought tonight Power took over in that position and did a real good job. A couple failed clears in the last one. But you got to earn what you get. Everybody deals with injuries. We've got players that need to produce for us that can't make excuses for. We've got to do the right thing, and you've got to be able to win games even with injuries.
We'll be on the ice tomorrow. What do you guys have to do now to get out of this?
We'll make a decision on that. You know, there's been quite a bit of hockey here, and how long we get on the ice for. I thought our energy was, again, I thought that first period, I thought that Kozak line set the tone with that first shift, and our energy in the first period and for the most part in the second period was good. We faded in the third.
In the third period, what does your team have to do to really pick up the energy and pick up the momentum?
We have to pass the puck better. Like breaking the puck out of our zone. When you spend like 15 seconds and you have a breakout pass and you don't execute and you let them counter right back on you, we have too many times tired people on the ice. First period, you know, 25, 30 second shift, we spent it in their zone, they chipped it out, we went at them while they were changing. They flipped the table on us in the third period, and that hurt us. Thanks.
Okay, that is Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff. As we bring it back up here to the press box, Brian Colsey along with Pat Mullicaro, Paul Hamilton down in the room. We'll get Paul's take coming up here in just a moment. But the Sabres fall to 0-3 on the season, a 3-1 loss to the Colorado Avalanche. Six straight upcoming in the division. It'll start Wednesday night against Ottawa. 7 o'clock, we'll have it for you on the Sabres radio network. Okay, at this time, we're going to say goodbye to all of our local affiliates. If you want to keep listening, of course, we're on in Buffalo here on the Bet 1520, or you can listen in on the Odyssey app. And when we come back, we'll get Paul Hamilton's take. We'll get you some highlights. We'll get Pat's scoreboard. We'll update you on the NHL standings here. But Buffalo falls 3-1 to Colorado. More postgame coming up right after this timeout. I'm Brian Colziel. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
Colorado with Natchez, Makar, Lehkonen, McKinnon, and Nelson. This is McKinnon. He'll play it onto the wing. Natchez going to the net for the tap-in, and Lyons saw it and met him there.
Busy today, 37 shots, and that was one of his 34 saves. It's our save of the game, brought to you by your Upstate Honda dealers for great deals on the entire Honda lineup. Visit your local Upstate Honda dealer today. Before we get to Paul Hamilton, we'll keep the highlights going now with our goal of the game. It's brought to you by Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. Early detection of cancer is our goal. Get in the game at roswellpark.org/WGR. Our goal of the game, it's the game winner for Cal Makar, early second period.
Colorado's a quick team, so don't give them the puck so often. Sabres have done it here with a turnover to Nichushkin right up the middle. Nichushkin pass across, they score.
Makar with his first of the season at 4:32 as he comes in and they're able to beat Dahlin and Byram, who are weak on the play for sure. And he collects it into the empty side of the net. 2-1 Colorado, that's your game winner. McKinnon would add another one to make it 3-1. That's the final, 3-1 Avalanche. They beat the Sabres. Buffalo now 0-3 as the Sabres next up will have Ottawa Wednesday at 7 o'clock. We'll read some tweets from fans here in a moment as we'll get connected with our fans powered by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today. You can send them in to me on Twitter at BrianWGR. Okay, do we have Paul? Is that what I heard? Do we have...
Yep.
Yes, we have Paul. Hi, Paul. Okay.
Hello.
I want to start with the offense. I know you just talked with Tage Thompson. Paul, if you take the empty net goals away from the Ranger game and the Bruins game. The Sabres have surrendered 3, 2, and 3. I would think in the NHL that should give you points on in you know 80% of the time, 90% of the time when you give up 3, 2, and 3. Obviously, though, they have scored 0, 1, and 1. So that's where I feel like if you know if we're going to try to maybe summarize these three games, there's a whole bunch of stuff in there, obviously, that we could dissect. But the offense has to get better. They will get no points if they score if they're averaging less than a goal a game. What are you seeing as the biggest problem on offense right now?
Well, they're not on a consistent basis getting to the net. The first period, they were great at it. And they did get a goal in the first period, but it wasn't just one line doing it. It was a bunch of lines, and they were around the crease, and they were around the net and getting opportunities. And then that went away, you know, as they got into the second period and into the third period. It just went away. And, you know, I'm scratching my head. Why are they out of gas in the third period? They're playing every other day. They're not playing back-to-backs. I'm not understanding. I don't get it. I know they have a new strength and conditioning coach, and maybe they have to do things a little bit differently. But it sounded like Lindy Ruff, they had yesterday off, so they didn't even skate yesterday. It's not a hard flight back from Boston unless they had problems. I don't know, but, you know, they had yesterday off, and it sounds like they might get tomorrow, or at least get off the ice tomorrow. They might be around here for meetings and stuff, but I'm at a loss for that. Why, after three games, are they fatigued in the third period? You know,
Colorado, by the way, Paul, played Saturday night in Denver.
Right.
And that also, as you know, is not a short trip to the airport, and they're, you know, the next day, the flight, all that sort of stuff. Like, they had some travel, too, on Sunday. So, you know, and Colorado's played an extra game, too, by the way.
And so they turned it on. Yep. They outshot Buffalo 15-4 in the third period, and pretty much until the Sabres pulled the goaltender, where they had a couple of chances. Kulik had a one-timer that was stopped by Wedgwood, and then at the other side, Thompson had a one-timer, and he missed the net. So they're at a loss for answer. You heard it.
Yeah.
Tage Thompson and Rasmus Dahlin had no idea what to say. They don't know what to say. They don't know how to fix this. It's just more of the same. It's over and over again. They're just picking up last year. I mean, 0-3 to start the season. I am surprised, but a lot of people could say to me, why are you surprised? Why would that surprise you? What's really different here? And a lot of what's different isn't in the lineup because of injuries in Norris and Kesselring. But are Norris and Kesselring going to make this 3-0 instead of 0-3? I don't know. Maybe one of the games might turn into a win. Maybe you could have figured out how to win this game. And again, you're, what did you say earlier, 0 for 11 on the power play.
Yep.
So that hasn't helped you. I mean, as bad as the Boston game was, stop and think. Until 3 seconds were left, it was a one-goal game. I mean, when they pulled the goaltender, and if something would have bounced in, they would have tied the game and had a chance to win the game in overtime in a game they had no business being in other than their goaltender. So they played really awful and still were in the game until, as I said, they got the empty netter tapping with 3 seconds left. They were in the Ranger game for most of it. That was a 1-0 game for a lot of the game. But, you know, it's just you look at the Colorado, look at their stars, look what they did in this game. I mean, their stars show up. McKinnon, 2 goals. Natchez, 2 assists. Makar, a goal and an assist. Their 3 stars have 6 points. The Sabres, 3 stars have 3, a goal and 2 assists. They at least were all in on the goal. But, you know, it's still just only 1 goal. And here you are, you know, sitting there with 2 goals on the season. 2. I mean, Natchez and McKinnon have 8 points each. 8 points each. The Sabres have 2 goals. I mean, it's a difference. And I hate to be a jerk, but Colorado's going to get on their plane tonight, and they're going to be laughing at these guys. That was such an easy game for them. You know? And people don't take this team seriously. And until they do, I mean, it's just like, we're going to Buffalo. It shouldn't be hard.
You know, you have to make it hard to come into this building. You have to make people not want to come into this building. And I thought they were off to a good start with that in the first period. Then it went away. Why? Because you're tired? It's mind-boggling.
Paul Tage Thompson, when asked about the morale in the room, and, you know, his way of dealing with it, obviously he says, you know, negativity breeds negativity, and he says, this is not what I want to do, but he definitely essentially was saying, hey, the media is overblowing this. He said, I'll use his words, act like the world is ending right now. It is three, the math would say 3 of 82 should agree to that point, but with the history of this club and the optimism of where this team is at and the lack of offense that we're seeing here, this 0-3 feels a lot worse than maybe just losing three games.
Yeah, and I respect that he doesn't want to sit around and just keep talking about 0-3 and keep talking about it. He would rather try to speak positively and talk about what's forward and that's behind him. I respect what he said and how he's trying to feel. He's trying to get this out of his head. As he said, there's nothing is gained by him dwelling on these three games. He has a game on Wednesday. That's what he's dwelling on. He doesn't want to dwell on, and I respect that. I have no problem with that. Again, what are these guys going to say? They've been talking. Tage Thompson and Rasmus Dahlin have explained this away since they came into the NHL. I mean, none of them have been here for 14 years, but they've been here for half of it. And it's just over and over. They don't know what to say or what to do. But something's broken in this organization. There's no question about that because nothing fixes it. Whether they change coaches, whether they change players, whether they start over, and then they start over and they pick up some stars, and then those stars get tired of losing, and then they want to be traded, and then you start over, and you hit on some of your first-round picks, you miss on some of your first-round picks, coach isn't good enough, like, oh, we got to get rid of the coach, GM's not good enough, got to get rid of the GM, and it just goes over and over and over again, and it never ends and it never gets better. And I wouldn't have guessed that they would have started 0-3. I probably should have. I mean, I could see a fan saying, why wouldn't you have guessed it? Where you been? But this is totally unacceptable. It's obviously acceptable to the owner because he does nothing about it. But to me, it absolutely is unacceptable.
Paul, I'll spin maybe to a positive here. Well, I'll spin to an opportunity. I wouldn't call it a positive. The next six games are all against divisional opponents. And the next 7 of 8 to finish the month are all against divisional opponents. So if you can play this stretch well upcoming, not only can you get yourself back in it, but you can also maybe keep those other teams down that now are, you know, 2 wins, 3 wins ahead of you. So, you know, on the calendar, on paper, again, they're almost all these are at home. I'll spell it out as an opportunity. Now, is this something that could play out well for them? Why do I have any reason to think so, right? Just like you said. But at least I feel like if you want to spell out an opportunity of what they could do here, if they can play a decent stretch here over these next 7-8 games, that on the table it could be there for them.
Yeah, they played last quarter of the season last year. They played good hockey. They were out of it by Christmas. So was it hockey where, you know, they were under pressure? Was it pressure hockey? No. And there's a difference. But, yeah, they did. I mean, they have shown that they can win hockey games on a fairly consistent basis over a month, month and a half at the end of the year last year. But it's the only reason why they weren't the worst team in the Eastern Conference, because they went on that little bit of a run. But and they could. I mean, who knows? I don't have a crystal ball. They could win their next six for all I know. I mean, there's nothing that tells me that that's going to happen. But, you know, they've got to get it figured out. They don't seem to be able to figure it out from an organization from the top down. And I really don't know what to tell you. I don't know what the answer is because, as I said, this obviously is okay with the owner. He's enjoyed what he's seen in the first three games because he's doing nothing about it.
Okay. Paul, thank you for your work today. Appreciate it. We'll see you here Wednesday night with the Senators in town.
Okay.
All right, Paul Hamilton down in the media room. We'll read some tweets here from fans now. We get connected with our fans, powered by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today. Well, Pat, where do we start here? Obviously, some of these tweets coming in, I can't read them on the air. I know that shocks you here. E-Rock talking about the power play says, look, they're just getting absolutely killed on the power play. The chances are extremely limited. That can be, if you are struggling with injuries and you don't have the depth, which they don't right now, Pat.
Yeah.
At the very least, your power play, it's 5-on-4. You have the man advantage. For the most part, the power play with Darlene and Thompson and Tuck and, you know, I that crew is what their top power play would be even if they didn't have injuries right now. I guess Norris might be a part of that too, but, I mean, that has to start to get better right there. If you're trying to figure out where to score goals, that's where I would start. How can we fix the power play?
Yeah, any point, one of those 11 power plays, a couple of those 11 power plays you convert on, and you're talking about a different game. I think it comes a little bit to the passing as well, and you can pass the puck around the perimeter. You can try and do things around the outside all you want, but until you're getting the puck to the net or trying to create offense high to low, low to high, whatever, you're kind of just spinning your wheels. So the power play is something that just has consistently been an issue for this team, and whether the scheme has changed or the coach in charge of it has changed, it seems to be similar to what we've seen in the past. So until that gets better, that could be a common theme of why the Sabres have struggled, is because the special teams has not been, at least in the power play, an advantage.
Yeah. One more here. Jagger says, hey, don't worry, we have plenty of scoring. That, according to the GM, he says, there's definitely no need not to add one, but maybe two top six players this offseason. Just being harder to play against doesn't necessarily mean that they'll make plays.
And we've seen that there have been moves that have been tried to be made, and it sometimes, whether it's the player that the other team, other teams want, maybe are not willing to make a trade in what you're willing to offer. So there's not, that's the problem with the NHL overall, right? Is top flight players don't become available all that often. You don't see those big blockbuster trades like you may see in other sports. So it's, you have to develop your own talent, and that's where, if you're the Sabres right now, that homegrown talent is what has to come through, and it just, at this point, it's not providing that offense.
We were talking up here today, too, with missing the playoffs all these years, which having poor records all these years, with finishing last all these years, you've accumulated quite a bit of number one and number two overall picks and top 10 picks. And at some point, you figure, look, that collection, even if you don't hit on them all, that collection, though, at some point, Pat, should be enough. And this franchise has not been able to convert that at all.
Two defensemen, two forwards. Both of the forwards are in different organizations. Both have gone on to be successful. Now, part of that is the maturation process, and maybe just it's unfortunate timing that this was their first stop, and if this was the second stop for a Sam Reinhart or a Jack Eichel, and they might have matured and grown up as players and been leaders with others around them. And, in Sam Reinhart's case in Florida, he doesn't have to be a leader. He can be
right.
just the player that he is. We saw in flashes here in Buffalo. So, unfortunate, but that's kind of the situation you're in.
Very good points. 3-1 the final. Colorado wins it. Ottawa is next. Before we leave you here, let's see what's going on in the rest of the NHL. Some decent amount of afternoon games here on the schedule. One more time, back to Pat with the scores.
Thanks, Brian. It's brought to you by Fiegel Carr and Joy Shore Border Attorney. Speaking of former Sabres, we start in Ottawa, where Ryan O'Reilly has doubled the Predators' lead over the Senators. 2:45 to go in the third period. Nashville 2, Ottawa nothing. Also through 40 minutes in Toronto, Dylan Larkin getting the only goal of the game so far. That coming in the opening period, the Red Wings and Maple Leafs about to start the third with Detroit leading 1-0. Coming up at 7 o'clock tonight, the Flyers will host the Panthers while the Devils are in Columbus to take on the Blue Jackets. 7:30 faceoff out in Vancouver for the Canucks and the Blues, while at 8 o'clock tonight, it's the Wild hosting the Kings. The Blackhawks take on the Mammoth as well in Chicago. The Blackhawks looking for their first win of the season. Tampa Bay hands Boston their first loss of the year. Anthony Cirelli, a pair of goals there. Former Sabre Casey Mittelstadt, a goal for Boston in their 4-3 loss to Lightning today. And it was the Jets, 5-2 winners over the Islanders. Also, the Canadiens making some news today, announcing that they have signed star Lane Hudson to an 8-year contract extension worth nearly $71 million. To the end of week 6 of the NFL schedule, the Bills will take on the Falcons tonight on many of these same stations, including our sister station, WGR 550. 7:15 kickoff between the Bills and the Falcons as Buffalo tries to bounce back from the first loss of the season. Only their second road game of the year this season as well. And the final game of the week in the NFL will conclude with the Bears in D.C. to take on the Commanders. Quickly to baseball, Brian, where game two of the American League Championship Series just over an hour away from getting underway in Toronto. Blue Jays trailing Seattle 1-0 in that best-of-seven series. Trey is Savage will get the start against Logan Gilbert. While on the National League side, 8:08 is the start time tonight for game one of the best-of-seven between Milwaukee and the Dodgers. Game one taking place in Wisconsin tonight, Brian.
I know that you'll be watching the Blue Jays tonight, so enjoy that.
Thank you. I roll right from that to the Bills.
That's right. And many of our Canadian listeners, happy Thanksgiving to you. And I'm sure you're rooting for the Jays as well here tonight. We'll see maybe a Jays-Bills way to finish off the day here. All right, well, a 3-1 final, Colorado victorious. Sabres 0-3 on the season. They'll see if they can get their first win Wednesday. That'll be our next broadcast as we wrap up our postgame here from KeyBank Center. Want to thank our crew, our producers back in our Amherst studios, Brandon Nightingale and Dan Dale. Thank you, gentlemen. The crew here at KeyBank Center, Tom Matty was our engineer, Pat Malacarlo, Jonathan Colziel, Paul Hamilton, all part of the broadcast. And for our game announcers, Dan Dunleavy and Rob Ray, I'm Brian Colziel. The final again, Colorado 3, Buffalo 1. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you on Wednesday night here from downtown Buffalo with the Sabres and the Senators right here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.